this recycling my pain. We've used recovery as an acronym because each one of these is a principle that has to do with recovery. Now, some of you are sitting here and thinking, well, see, he's doing this series for the drug addicts and the alcoholic. No! This is for all of us. These things, we all are recovering from something. I have never been on drugs. I have never taken any illegal drug that I know of. Okay? You could put all of the beer that I've ever drank into a gallon in my life. You could put all the whiskey that I've tasted in a cup that big. I've just never been involved with drugs and alcohol. But I do have other problems. I do have other things in my life that has caused me pain and hurt. One of the biggest issues that I dealt with in my life is inferiority. And that is a very, if you suffer with that, that is a very painful thing to deal with. I cannot describe the pain that's involved in feeling like you're not as good as someone else. And it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy of defeat. And there's for a long time, I was defeated by that inferiority. I have overcome and am daily overcoming those feelings. It's taken a long time to do that. So we all have things that we need to recover from. So get out of your mind that when we use the word recovery, we're only talking about drugs and alcohol. It hurts, habits, and hang-ups, which all of us deal with. Some people have a tendency to be irritable and cranky. Did you know that's not just the way you are? That's a habit. And that's one that needs to be broken in your life. Some of you have anger issues. Some of you cannot control your temper. That is a problem. That's not normal. That's just the way I am. No, it's not. If you're in Christ Jesus, you're a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. That's not part of your new nature. And that's a bad habit. And it can be broken. So every one of us have things, issues in our life that we need to overcome. R. Realize I'm not God. I admit I'm powerless to control my tendencies to do the wrong thing, and my life is unmanageable. In order for us to overcome anything, first of all, we have to realize that we're not God, that we can't control everything in our lives on our own. Now, here's a paradox. You have to lose control or give up control in order to gain control. Because you can't control. You think you're in control, but you're being controlled by the thing that's your problem. And you don't see yourself as being controlled by that, but but it's controlling you because you're acting like you're God. When you say, I can handle this on my own, I don't need this. I don't need God. I can control this. You got a God problem. See, you can say, I'm not God, but are you acting like God in your own life? Anytime we do not obey His precepts, principles, He's not in control. You can say Jesus is Lord, but are you letting Him be Lord? And the way that He is Lord of our lives is that we quit being God in our own lives and realize that things in our lives are out of control and I'm not God. That I'm powerless. E. Earnestly believe that God exists. Well, duh. This is the journey of faith. You have to believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. So we have to believe that He exists. I'm not God, so there is a God. I'm not God. There is a God. See, this is not New Age stuff that we're teaching. New Age says you're evolving to be your own God. We say, no, there is a God and you're not Him. You're not God. You'll never be God. Okay? There is a God and you're not Him. So we must believe that God exists And here's the biggie, that I matter to Him. Here's one of the things, especially with things like inferiority, that if you have this difficulty in your life, you think that nobody likes you, that you don't deserve to be loved, and it becomes a very self-condemning lifestyle. You think other people look down on you, and they really don't. But let me tell you, if you look down on yourself long enough, then other people will begin to do the same thing. You need to think about that. If you're down on yourself all the time, if you're always beating yourself up, you will begin to act out that negative behavior, and you'll want to be accepted, but your very actions will push people away from you. We don't need that. That's why we have to overcome our hurts and our habits and our hang-ups, because they keep us from growing. They keep us from becoming all that we can be for God and His kingdom. So I have to believe that I matter to God and that He has the power to help me recover. The only way that you're really ever going to overcome anything in your life is through the power of God. Amen. I'll shout for myself. Consciously choose to commit all my life and will to Christ's care and control. Initially, we call this being saved. When you say, okay, Jesus, come into my life. Forgive my sins. Take over. I give you my life. I give you control. And what happens is when we do that, He comes in. We make Him Lord. Then after that, boy, see, it's easy to get saved. It's easy to get saved because it's a free gift. All you have to do is receive it. You don't have to earn it. In fact, you can't earn it. If you think you can earn it, you can't have it. If you think that you have to be good enough to get it, then you'll never get there. It's a free gift. It's given by God's grace. And it's easy to be saved. Now, it wasn't easy for God to save you because His Son had to die and be condemned and cast out from the presence of God, be raised from the dead. The next thing, and this is where learning to allow God to be real in our lives, to change our lives. We say this all the time in this church, and I'm going to keep on saying it. So you get tired of hearing it. So I'm so tired of hearing that. Well, at least you know it. God loves you just like you are. God will take you just like you are, but He loves you too much to leave you like you are. And this is where this begins to happen. See, once I become His, He starts trying to work in my life. But He has to have my cooperation. So the O is openly examine and confess my faults to myself, to God, and someone I trust. Wow. That gets to be difficult. Because we have to start looking at our own lives. We have to start looking at the things that are destroying us. That we don't even realize sometimes. We have to do inventory. We have to take an honest look at ourselves. And then we have to admit to ourselves that this is a problem. I have to admit it to myself, and then I have to admit it to God. That's how we get things forgiven, is by confessing them to God. But here's the rub, to another person that I trust. Well, I don't have to do that. Well, you can get it forgiven without that. But sometimes we need somebody that we can be accountable to. Somebody that may have wisdom that they can speak into our lives. And if we hide these things, we're apt to repeat them. See, when you have somebody that you're accountable to, and they can say, okay, how have you done this week? Have you been reading the Word this week? Have you been confessing the Word this week? Well, no. Well, you need to confess the Word. That's why you need an accountability partner. That's why you need to be open and transparent. And then V is voluntarily submit to every change God wants to make in my life and humbly ask Him to remove my character defects. Do Christians have character defects? Oh, yeah. yeah. See, a lot of people think that somebody comes forward, they get saved, everything just immediately changes in their life. And there are some things that do change immediately. But they expect them to be perfect. But, you know, they expect them to be able to walk straight, spit white, and do right. But I've noticed over the years that that doesn't happen. Okay? That just doesn't happen. So we have to voluntarily. That means that we have to be part of this process that God wants to do in our life. God will not break your will. You have to choose certain things. If you do not choose them, then God will not do them. He'll bug you about it. Holy Spirit will convict you about it. The Holy Spirit will deal with you about it. But until you voluntarily say, okay, Lord, do it, then He won't do anything. E, evaluate all my relationships. You know, when I got saved, I had to change some relationships. I couldn't hang around with the same people I used to hang around with. Because that relationship would lead me right back into my problem. Okay? Evaluate all my relationships. Offer forgiveness to those who have hurt me. Make amends for harm I've done to others, except when to do so would harm them or others. So we have to evaluate relationships. I've hurt people. I've been hurt by people. I've got that to deal with. I have to release. Why do I have to release those who have hurt me? Is it for their benefit? No. It's for my benefit. If I'm going to grow, I cannot hold grudges. If we hold grudges, that impedes our growth. It stops our spiritual growth. Number one, you cannot receive forgiveness for your sins. If you are unwilling to forgive, your Father cannot forgive you. It's when we're able to forgive that God is able to forgive us of our sins as believers. And then he goes on and says, then I've hurt others, so I've got to be willing to make amends to those that I've hurt. So, oh, I don't know if I can do that or not. Well, depends if you want to move on or not. R, reserve a time daily with God for self-examination. This has to be an ongoing lifestyle. Not only do you just look at your life one time, you have to look at it every day. Are my motives right? Am I walking in love? Am I being selfish? Are Christians selfish? Do we have a tendency to get selfish? Am I walking in fear? Or am I walking in faith? So we need a daily time for self-examination, for Bible reading and prayer, in order to know God and His will for my life and gain the power to do it. See, the power for overcoming comes only through the Word. The Word is alive. Psychology will not let you overcome, truly overcome. I'm talking about, you may be able to quit a habit with spiritual principles that don't have Jesus in it, but if you're really going to be free, Jesus is going to have to be right at the center of it. Okay? Jesus is going to have to be right at the center of it, and it's through His Word, because His Word is alive. Then we come to the why. Woo! R-E-C-O-V-E-R. Why? Not Y-M-C-A either, okay? Why? That's a big why, isn't it? Okay. Yield myself to God to be used to bring the good news to others by both my example and my words. Now, see, here's the process. Here's the process that we go through. First of all, we have to come to reality that we can't handle it. We have to come into a relationship with God because He's the only one that can. Then we have to work on ourselves. We have to work on our hurts and habits and hang-ups on a daily basis. We have to develop a lifestyle of self-examination and repentance. This is called discipleship. This is called discipleship. This is one of the reasons that we do Sunday school. We do small groups. We do so many things around here to get the Word into people's lives and hearts. But then, you can only grow so much. I'm going to make a statement that sounds like heresy. You can only grow so much by studying the Bible. The Bible will take you only so far. Okay? It sounds like heresy. Now, all your growth will come through the Word. But it's not until you begin to do with something with what you know that you begin to really grow. Right. Studying will cause you to grow some. But when you get into the area where you begin to give out to others what God has done in your life, and it's sharing the Word, so it's all through the Word. I'm not anti the Word, I'm for the Word. The gospel of God is the power of God unto salvation, to deliverance, to everything that we are. It's the Word of God, it's the power of God. But you know, a lot of Christians study, and they're full of the Word, and they're so selfish and so immature. A lot of them, you know why? It's because they never get out beside themselves. They're just wanting the next revelation. Let me give you a revelation. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Find somebody that has a need and be what they need you to be. And you, hello? Then you can really begin to grow. Then you're going to really become Christ-like. Amen. So, I want to ask the question today. And this is I don't like this question. But here's a good way to get your attention. Why God allowed my pain? Now, a lot of people think that God caused the pain. God never causes us pain. Most of your pain is self-inflicted. Most of your problems are self-inflicted. And here, I want you to see this. Number one, why did God allow my pain? Because He has given me a free will. That's big. He gives us a free will. We have the ability to choose, and God will not override our choices. I can choose to do right. I can choose to do wrong. God will allow me to do whatever I choose to do. If I have a free will, then He has to allow me to do that. How many of you know that there are consequences to every choice that we make in life? Some of them are good, some of them are bad. God did not choose my wife. I did. Did I marry the right one? I think I did. I think I did good. But I could have married the wrong one. And a lot of people get married for the wrong reason. Oh, that's big. Okay. God's given me a will. But you know, people will make a dumb choice and they'll say, well, I just don't understand why God let this happen. Can I say this? He couldn't keep it from happening. Because in order to keep it from happening, He would have to override His own laws and principles to do that. He would have to break His own laws in order to override that. See, you need to look in the mirror to see who your problem is. I'm convinced that Jason's biggest problem is Jason and not the devil. And it's not Robin. It's Jason. I'm not picking on Randy. He moved back. But you know, Randy's biggest problem is Randy. It's not the devil. It's not Kathy. It's Randy. Now my biggest problem is my wife. No, my biggest problem is me. I made choices. There are consequences to choices. God does not override our wills in this life. We have the power to choose. In Deuteronomy 1, it says, I'm giving you the choice between God's blessing or God's curse. There will be blessing if you obey my commands. Now, He tells us what the end results are. You know, sometimes we make stupid decisions knowing what the end result will be. You might get free of something and think, I hadn't had a donut in a long time. See, I don't struggle with drugs or alcohol. Donuts is another deal. You think that's funny, don't you? I'm eating at Subway now. You know, one donut won't hurt. One cigarette won't hurt. One beer won't hurt. One Coke won't hurt. One pill won't hurt. And first thing you know, that one leads to another and another and another and another and another. There's consequences to choice. And we know in our own hearts that if we eat that donut, we'll blow the diet. Have you ever blown a diet over a dumb donut? It's called relapse. Oh, God's given me a choice. He says, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life, because there's a blessing when you choose life. When you choose to do it God's way, there's always a blessing that comes with it. If you choose to do it your way, then you get the consequences that you choose. Amen? Okay. He allowed my pain to get my attention. Now I want you to listen very closely, or you'll misunderstand what I'm about to say. Some people say, well, you know, God did that to teach you something. No. No, it had to do with my choice. But even, listen to this, even in the law of seed time and harvest, there's an element of love, even sowing bad seeds. And it's called pain. If there were no consequences to our actions, we would continue to sow bad seeds until it killed us without symptom. So sometimes the pain is a warning. You know, if you have a pain in your stomach, that pain is saying to you, there's something that's not normal. I need to look at it. I need to pray. I need to go to the doctor. I need to do this. I need to do that. Pain lets us know that there's a difficulty. So even in the law of seed time and harvest, God has not left us without His love. I'm not saying that pain is love. It's just part of the consequence of what we do. But what God will do, if we'll recognize that there's pain, it's still not too late for us to turn some things around in our lives. So pain is not always a bad thing. Did you know it? Pain is not always a bad thing. God didn't do it. He didn't put it there. It's a consequence of our own choices that we make. But the pain lets us know that something is not right. Now the problem with a lot of us is that we've gone right on through that pain and continue to do the stuff to cause more pain. Proverbs 20:30 says, the law of sowing and reaping is designed to stop my downward spiral. And sometimes it takes a painful situation to make us change our ways. See, what we have to do, if there's pain in our life, if there's lack in our life, if there's something in our life that's not supposed to be there, then we have to change something. Now here's what we want to do. We want to pray and for it to go away. But we want to keep on walking like we're walking. No, it's your walk that causes the pain. We want to, you know, come up and somebody pray on us, knock us in the floor, pick us up, knock us in the floor, and get up and be okay. We want them to cast it out of us. You can't cast out bad habits. Demons are the only things that can be cast out. You cannot cast out bad habits. You have to renew your mind. Okay? So sometimes the pain is the thing that causes us to turn, even in the law of sowing and reaping. That's by design. Number three, I should learn to depend on God. In my pain, I should learn to depend on God. 2 Corinthians 1:8 says we are crushed and overwhelmed and saw how hopeless we were to help ourselves. But that was good, for then we put everything into the hands of God, who alone could save us, and He did help us. God is more than willing to get involved in your situation and circumstance. But you have to be willing to turn from the pain. You have to be willing to turn the way. When you realize, when the pain causes you to realize that there's a problem, you turn to God. He is able to bring His power in, His grace, His ability to work on our behalf and turn the situation around. But you cannot keep sowing the same seeds that you've been sowing and expect to have a different harvest. You always reap what you sow. Number four, God can turn it around and give me a ministry. This is big. Now we're doing a life group called How to Live Your Life on Purpose. People are trying to find their purpose. Let me tell you some things about your purpose. Number one, it's going to have to do with your personality, your talents, your gifts. But there's another aspect that comes into play. Your problems that you have overcome will become part of what you are able to minister to others about. It's very difficult for me to be empathetic with someone who's on drugs. I've never been there. I've never done that. I can show the love of God, but I'm not easily touched with the feelings of their infirmities because I don't know what it feels like to be high. I don't have a clue. I don't know what it's like to be drunk. I don't know what a hangover is like. Now, I do know about the pain of inferiority. I know a lot about that. But that other stuff, even though that's part of the ministry of this church, I could not lead Celebrate Recovery and be as effective as somebody that has been there and have overcome it. So God will take the things that you've come through. You may have come from a dysfunctional home. You may have been molested as a child. You may have been raped. You may have had to overcome anger and other situations and problems and difficulties in your life. Those are the things that if you'll be diligent to overcome those are the very things that God can take and turn around. You know, Satan did them to you to try to kill you, but God can, He's able to take and turn something around and make it into something that can be used for His glory. And that's what He wants to do. I know there's some churches that condemn people who have had a divorce. Well, they condemn half the world. How many, and I'm against divorce. I hate divorce. God hates divorce. But I don't hate the divorced. I mean, but if you've been through a divorce and have overcome, did you know that you can minister to other people who are facing the same situations and circumstances? I don't know what that pain is like. I have seen it, but I have not experienced that pain. But if you have gone through that and overcome it, that's probably an area that God will want to use you in. I need to wet my whistle. Okay, how to use my pain to help others? First of all, you have to overcome it. You can't help somebody with something you're still struggling with. You have to get past it. You have to be way into the area of being healed and whole. You don't have to necessarily be completely whole, but you got to have some history behind you. Can I say it this way? And you have to have some sobriety, okay? This can't be something that just happened last week and you've overcome it. You got to have some history there. Okay? So, how can I use my pain to help others? 1 Peter 3:15, always be prepared to give an account to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Amen. If someone is overcome by sin, humbly help him back into the right path, remembering that next time it might be you who is doing wrong. Share each other's troubles and problems, so obey the Lord's command. Galatians 6, 1 and 2. So how can I use my pain to help others? Okay, you have a story to tell. I can't tell you a drug story because I don't have one. I can't tell you an alcohol story because I don't have one. I don't have a divorce story to tell. But I do have a story to tell about overcoming inferiority. I can tell you that story. And I can be passionate and feeling about it because I've been through it. But what do we need to do? Number one, be humble. Don't come across as a superman. Don't come across as superior because you've overcome and you're dealing with somebody who is in the struggle. In other words, they're going to feel more put down than they are ministered to. Well, I tell you, I just took the Word of God and I stood on the Word of God, and if you had faith, you could do that too. That's not being humble. I don't like haughty preachers. I don't like haughty Christians. We have nothing to be haughty about. I am what I am by the grace of God. I am what I am by the Word of God. It's not something that I have earned. It's not something that I've done. It's Him who works in me. I don't have any reason to be prideful. But a lot of Christians get caught up in pride. Maybe they need to go back and deal with pride. But you got to be humble. You've got to come to the level that someone is on and be humble. Not haughty, not prideful. Number two, be real. Glory to God. I am an overcomer. No, be real. I have a hard time with preachers. I do. I don't like being called one. Because I don't want to be associated with the way that some of them act. Plastic. Unreal. I think in life you got to be real. People who know me say, I act the same way out there as I do up here. I don't put on a show. I'm a cut up here, out there. That's just the way I am. We got to keep it real. Randy Jackson said, keeping it real, dog. Just keeping it real. Let's keep it real. You know what people do when you're phony? Really? You know what people do when they think you're shucking and jiving? They put the walls up. They put the walls up. They're not going to hear anything that you say. You got to be transparent. You got to be open. You got to be honest. You got to be real. See, that means that you got to have some history. You got to be able to do that. Number three, don't lecture. Don't preach. Do you like somebody preaching at you? Guys, do you love it when your wife preaches at you? Nudge your wife and tell her, no, don't do that. I don't cause any strife. I've had my wife turn to me and said, quit preaching at me. You know what I was doing? I was preaching at her. Nobody likes to be lectured. Be humble. Be real. Don't lecture. You can share plenty out of your life experience. You can share the Word without lecturing. Nobody likes to be talked down to. It's this way, not this way. It's this way. And that's what we have to do. Well, there we have it. Recovery. The road to recovery. We have to get God in our life. We have to realize we're not God. We have to know that He exists and that He loves us. We got to turn our lives over to Him. Then we got to start digging into our lives and dealing with the issues so that we can finally come to the place that we can take the things that we've been through and God can use us to help others. Now, He can use you in areas that you've not gone through too. I'm not saying that. But primarily, I think that you're going to have more effectiveness through the things that you've gone through. Because you have had to, if you've overcome, you have had to take the Word of God, you've had to have taken the promises of God and use them to overcome. I can tell you the inferiority scriptures. I know what they are. See, I know that greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. And Christ lives in me. And if He lives in me, He's greater than what's in the world. And I'm not in me, I'm in Christ. And I don't have any reason to be inferior because greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. I'm more than a conqueror through Him who loved me and gave Himself for me. Wow. I took about 3 or 4 verses of Scripture and I began to overcome. And the only reason that I can stand up here today and be me is because of the Word of God. That's it. Otherwise, I would be that shy, bashful, backward, self-abasing person that I was. And I would have no effect for God's kingdom. But I believe I'm going to have an effect for His kingdom because of the things that I've overcome. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, thank You. Prayer team, would You come? Father God, thank You so much that You've loved us, that You have a plan for us, that we can overcome every circumstance, situation that comes against us. Anything that the devil has tried to do, to kill, steal, and destroy, Lord God, You have a plan to cause us to overcome. We thank You for that today in Jesus' name. If you're here and you need prayer for any reason, we invite you to come now. It may be related to the message. You may need to make Jesus Lord of your life today. Now is the time to do that. You may need to have an issue that needs prayer. Please come at this time. And let's get that taken care of. As we get ready to wind this service down, please come. Let's be in a prayerful attitude. I believe the Lord is touching lives today. us stand together? Can we thank God for all He's done today? Thank You, Father, so much for all that You've done and accomplished today in this place. We worship You and we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.